Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, especially on Fridays. Love Fridays. In January, I love Fridays because we're gearing up for some playoff football this weekend. And, of course, we have local basketball and a lot of it. It started what's going to be basically four games in 3 days here on KOAL last night with the Emory Lady Spartans picking up a pretty dominating victory over North Sam Pete. Tonight, the boys' team will try to do the exact same. Tonight, live coverage will begin at 6:30 p.m. with Landon's Diesel Service pregame show and then tip off at 7. Tomorrow night, we have USU Eastern basketball. I should say tomorrow afternoon. 2:30 live coverage will begin. Doubleheader action. The women and the men going toe-to-toe with CSI. I'm looking forward to all three of these matchups, and we will talk about them a little bit later. We got a lot of local sports to get into today on the Friday edition of the show. Today, Coach Jones, Coach Vando, Coach Condi, all three USU Eastern men basketball coaches will join us over the phone. That'll be next segment here on the show. And then we're going to catch up with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon High School baseball team. I know it's January. Look, open gyms have started. We're about a month and a half away from the start of the baseball season. And there's a lot of excitement because Carbon High School has construction on two new baseball fields. I know you've drove by and you've got to see. We'll get an update from Coach Cincinnatus on that as well. So a fun show coming up here on Friday. I say we dive into the national sports headlines, and we will begin in the world of college football. One of my favorite players that just did not have the season that was expected, one of my favorite players in the country, Bryce Love of Stanford. I love this kid. I think he is such a class act. I think he's probably number two, number three maybe as far as running backs coming into the upcoming NFL draft. Now he's recovering after undergoing surgery last month to repair a torn right ACL. He said he suffered the injury during the fourth quarter of Stanford's final regular season game against Cal back on December 18th. Did not play in the bowl game, the Sun Bowl, in which Stanford beat Pitt 14-13. He said he wanted to focus on being completely healthy and prepared for the NFL draft, but he didn't disclose the extent of his injury at that time. Now he's talking about participating in the NFL scouting combine in some way and told Yahoo Sports he was opening up about his injury to be transparent to NFL teams that could be interested in drafting him. He had 2,118 yards and 19 touchdowns in 2017. 2018, he was held to 739 yards on 97 fewer carries. He averaged at least 7 yards per carry in each of his first three seasons. It dropped to 4.5 this last year. He had an ankle injury. Stanford had a terrible offensive line, and that's just completely out of character for this squad. But Bryce Love, to me, he's a rare breed because we always talk about athletes that don't want to play in bowl games, athletes that are going to bolt from school, go to the NFL draft and make their money, and I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with that at all. Bryce Love's stock was so high last season, and he decided to come back for one more year of college football. I respect that so much. Made sure he got his degree at Stanford. You got to love the kid. I think he's a class act all the way around. And Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, they have him at number two on the draft eligible running back list right now. I'm really rooting for this kid. I hope he makes a full recovery, and I hope he's successful in the NFL. Like I said, things were just terrible for him this year. It was one thing after another, and that Stanford team was not that good. It fell in line with kind of some mediocre play as far as the Stanford Cardinals go in general. The Pac-12 was just not very good. But I'm a big Bryce Love supporter. I hope he makes a full recovery. I hope someone takes a chance on him and he ends up in the right spot. Moving forward, away from college football, let's talk Major League Baseball. A free agent signing today, former Colorado Rockies second baseman DJ LeMahieu has joined the New York Yankees on a two-year, $24 million contract? This is an odd trivia question for you, a little Drive Time Sports trivia. For some reason, there's a DJ LeMahieu bobblehead in this studio. And I don't know why, but there is. There's been one for a couple of years. DJ LeMahieu in his Rockies uniform. It's the last we've seen of that. Signs a two-year, $24 million deal with the New York Yankees. He's going to join the Yankees after seven seasons with the Rockies, in which he was fantastic. Two All-Star selections, three Gold Glove awards, and in 2016, he won the National League batting title when he batted .348 throughout the year. Now, the bat, it has fallen a little bit, but the defense is not. And this is a signing that I guarantee you will pay dividends for the Yankees. He's only 30 years old. He's one of the best defensive players in the National League this past season. Led all major leaguers at any position in defensive regression analysis. He's 6'4", slap hitter, goes to opposite field, batted .276 last year, had 15 home runs, 62 RBIs, and like I said, the batting average has dropped a little bit, but defensively, this guy is going to make a huge difference for the Yankees, and I think they get a gem. Everyone's talking about Manny Machado. Give me DJ LeMahieu. I know that Machado's a better all-around player. I'm not even remotely questioning that. But when you're a team like the Yankees, or you're a team like the Dodgers, or the Astros, or the Red Sox, you don't need Manny Machado. You need a glue player that is going to get it done in the field. These are teams that can hit the ball. And I bring up those other squads because LeMahieu was rumored last night to be close to signing a deal with the Dodgers. And the Yankees found a way to snag him on a two-year, $24 million deal. He's the best defensive player in baseball. Doesn't get a lot of talk because he plays in Colorado. This is a tremendous signing. And for any Yankee fan who wanted Machado, I'm telling you, this is the move that may catapult the Yankees. If LeMahieu can stay healthy, the Yankees just received a huge upgrade in the infield. I love the signing for the Yankees. Forget about Machado. This is who you want in your infield. I'm a big DJ LeMahieu guy. I think the Yankees, they knock it out of the park. Literally, this is a terrific signing for the Yankees today. We jump over to the NFL. Ex-Broncos head coach Vance Joseph has signed an agreement to become the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals. And the Broncos just brought in a former defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. His coaching staff is going to continue on without Gary Kubiak. Now, Kubiak's potential return to the staff was something that was reported earlier in the week. John Elway said there was a possibility the day after the Broncos closed out their 6-10 season, saying that he wanted to bring Kubiak back in some reserve. And the Broncos actually blocked other teams from interviewing Kubiak. But today it's being reported that he will not, in fact, be a part of Fangio's staff. I like Gary Kubiak. I like the relationship with the Broncos and John Elway. I thought that would have been a good fit, but for whatever reason, he's not going to be a part of the Denver Broncos staff. Let's move over and take a look at the NBA. Plenty of action tonight, and it begins in the 5 o'clock hour on what's a long slate of games. Atlanta will travel on the road to meet Philadelphia. The Wizards will play host to the Milwaukee Bucks. We get the Pacers on the road to take on the New York Knicks, and the Brooklyn Nets will battle the Toronto Raptors. 6 o'clock tonight, we get Cleveland on the road to take on the Houston Rockets. The Minnesota Timberwolves will battle the Dallas Mavericks. 8 o'clock tonight on ESPN, the Los Angeles Lakers without LeBron James are in the state of Utah tonight to take on the Jazz. Again, no LeBron in tonight's action. The Jazz are trying to track down the Lakers in the race for 8 in the Western Conference playoffs. We've hit that midway mark. You know, the All-Star break's not the midway point in the NBA season. We're at game 42 for both of these teams, and the Lakers have a two-game lead on the Jazz, who are tied with the Sacramento Kings for the 9th spot in the Western Conference right now. It's a big game, especially when you take a look at the season series. So Lakers-Jazz tonight at Vivint Smart Home Arena, 8 p.m. start time there. The Hornets will travel to meet the Portland Trail Blazers at 8 o'clock, and in the nightcap tonight, it's the Chicago Bulls and the Golden State Warriors. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. A heavy dose of the local sports scene when we return. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the Emory Lady Spartans improved to 13-0 overall in the season and 4-0 in region play as they blasted through the North Stampede Hawks by a final score of 57-26. The Lady Spartans got off to a dominating start, leading North Stampede 20-2 at the end of the first quarter. Emory continued to roll over the next three periods, and they also held North Stampede under double digits in each individual quarter. The win means Emory will sit atop of the Region 15 standings with the San Juan Broncos. The two teams right now are the lone two unbeaten teams in the division. San Juan is sitting at 3-0 while Emory is at 4-0. The Lady Spartans will now take the remainder of the weekend off before returning to the court on Tuesday. They will take on the Grand Red Devils in a road contest. Thursday of next week, the Lady Spartans will play host to San Juan. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will have more on the Lady Spartan basketball team in the coming days. We stick with Emory High School basketball, but we move over to the boys' side of the court. And this evening, the Spartans will travel on the road to meet the North Stampede Hawks on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Sitting at 1-2 in Region 15 play, the Spartans are looking for their second consecutive division win. Live coverage of tonight's contest will begin at 6:30 p.m. Tip-off will follow immediately after at 7. You can also listen to tonight's broadcast live at CastleCountryRadio.com. The internet stream is brought to you by Bill's Home Furnishings. The Emory High School wrestling team is set to travel on the road today and tomorrow. They'll participate in a weekend tournament in Gunnison. The team has had a light week, all things considered, as we approach the final month of the wrestling season. The two-day weekend tournament will give the Spartans an opportunity to take a look at some of the heavy competition throughout the 3A classification. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We will recap this weekend's event for the Emory wrestling team with Coach Kurt Christiansen next week. Sticking with Emory High School, the swim team will travel on the road to the Cedar Invitational today and tomorrow. It's also been a light week for the swim squad. The Emory swim team will also be joined by the Carbon Dinos as they join a group of other schools that will participate in the two-day event. Again, we will go over the complete results from this weekend on Monday, recapping what's going to be a very busy weekend in the swimming pool for both Carbon and Emory. We move over to junior college basketball, and tomorrow on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, we'll have doubleheader action as the USU Eastern men and women both look to move to 2-0 in conference play as they play host to the College of Southern Idaho. The women's basketball team is sitting at a perfect 1-0 following a dominating victory over Colorado Northwestern last weekend at home. CSI, they sit at the top of the Scenic West Athletic Conference standings at a perfect 2-0. They earned a 62-60 victory last week over Salt Lake Community College and followed that up with a 28-point dominating victory over Snow College. Tomorrow's action is scheduled to begin at 3 p.m. Live coverage of the contest will begin at 2:30 p.m. on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Now, immediately following the contest, the men will take the court. They are fresh off of a victory over Colorado Northwestern last week, and they will look to keep the pressure on CSI, who suffered a loss to Salt Lake Community College in the opener this past Saturday. The men's contest is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com, and you can also find exclusive interviews with athletes in the local area by clicking on the KOAL ITV link. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Going to talk junior college basketball. Coming up tomorrow right here on KOAL, we have doubleheader action. The USU Eastern men and women basketball teams will look to move to 2-0 in conference play. They'll play host to the College of Southern Idaho. Now, live coverage will begin at 2:30 p.m. with the women's contest, which is scheduled for a 3 p.m. tip-off. And then immediately after that, the men will take to the court. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Vando, the USU Eastern men's basketball team, and also his assistants, Ray Jones and Curtis Condi. Guys, always a pleasure. Coach, thank you so much for the time today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me in your program, Jordan.
Yeah, love it, Coach. Love talking USU Eastern basketball. Now it's the fun time. Scenic West Athletic Conference play is underway, Coach. We can start by talking about last Saturday's game against Colorado Northwestern. Kind of a slow start for this team, trailing by 5 at the end of the first half. But the Eagles found a way to rally late, pick up a 7-point victory over an undermanned Colorado team that only dressed 6 players. All in all, Coach, I'm sure that you're happy to get the win, but at the same time, there was plenty to work on heading into this weekend's matchup.
Oh Oh, yeah. So, but you know what? You know, I have with me over here, you know, Coach Condi and Coach Jones. But, man, you know, last night, Colorado almost beat, you know, Slick. You know, they were up 6 points on, 51 seconds to go on the second half. And for some reason, they blow it, and they lost in overtime by 6. They played really good, you know, like, you know, you were here, you know, they shot really well. But, you know, one thing that I like it, you know, about our team, you know, they fought, you know, they play really good defense on the second half. They could get some stops, and then we won the game. But, you know, this you know, the tomorrow is going to be a different kind of, you know, monster, right? So, you know, CSI beat, you know, Snow College last night. But, you know, I think that we had a great week of practice. I think, you know, that we get better this week for sure. And we are very, I think we have a good chance, you know, tomorrow if we, you know, play the way that we've been, you know, playing in practice. I think we're going to have a chance, Jordan.
Coach, if we go back to the Colorado game and you take a look at one glaring stat, at least in my mind, was 19 turnovers in this game. It's going to be difficult to beat anyone in this conference when you turn the ball over that much. What did you contribute it to? Was it Colorado's defense? Was it mental mistakes from this team, just being careless with the basketball? What did you contribute the 19 turnovers to?
Well, to be honest with you, I think we play really sloppy. You know, like we had a, wrong approach, you know, the guy saw just 6, you know, kids on the bench, you know, on the other, you know, side. And, you know, I think, you know, we played not bad, but, you know, like we played, you know, like a relaxed. And then, in like, you know, this is, you know, gave us a lot of, you know, turnovers that you're not supposed to make those. And you know what? You know, like CNCC, you know, took advantage of that, you know, like they had nothing to lose. Like when you have 6 guys, you know, and then the player say, hey, you know, you're supposed to lose. But, you know, they play with a lot of confidence, and then we turn the ball over and they score on us. But like I said, you know, I really, proud of my guys because, you know, the second half, you know, we had, the right approach, and we played the way that we're supposed to play, and we ended beat them.
One very positive statistic, Coach, in this game is that you guys only allowed 3 second chance points to Colorado, right? I mean, that's what it says in the stat book. That's phenomenal. I mean, second chance points only giving up 3. That's a pretty pleasing stat, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, but then, you know, like tomorrow we're going to face a team that, you know, like had 21 offensive rebound against Slick, you know. If we can keep, you know, like doing a great job like we did against CNCC, not give, you know, the opponent, you know, second chance to score, like I said, I think we're going to have a chance, you know, to beat a really good team, you know, tomorrow who does a great job on offensively, you know, rebound.
Yeah, no question about it. And, Coach, I know you said you have Coach Jones and Coach Condi standing by as well. We'll jump to Coach Jones with this one. Coach, now that you got one conference game under your belt, makeup of the team trailing by 11 points at one particular time in the second half, you come back and you get a win. Plenty of positives in that regard, regardless of who it's against.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just goes along with the process of of facing situations and overcoming adversity. So, I mean, no team so far has either not taken a loss or had the fear of a loss. You look at Salt Lake last night, they're going to learn something from that. You know, the way we battled back against CNCC, we learned something from that. So I think it just goes along with the process.
Coach, looking over CSI and what they bring to the table this weekend, going back to last night's game that they had against Snow College in a 12-point victory, Khalid Thomas was pretty spectacular for him. Scores 25 points in 22 minutes. I guess to no surprise, this is a CSI team that is deep. They can beat you in a number of different ways. Between Thomas and Porter, they combined for something like 50 points in last night's victory. What stands out to you about this CSI team?
The fact that they just keep hitting you. I mean, they're a team that you have to play for 40 minutes. I mean, we learned that last time playing them at the tournament. You know, we played well for 38 minutes, and we had them against the ropes, but they just keep hitting. Like, they just keep swinging, and they have multiple punches. So So you have to play 40 minutes. You have to stay on your toes the whole time. That's something that guys came to me about earlier, and they were like, Coach, if we don't play 40 minutes, it's going to be a long night for us. And I was like, absolutely. So, I mean, that's one thing that talent can do. It forces you to play the whole game because at any time, if it's not Khalid, it's Porter. If it's not Porter, it's Edelmeyer. If it's not Edelmeyer, it's Giddens. They have multiple guys that can just go off at any time. So we just got to be ready.
It's not as if this is a – I know that Southern Idaho every single season, they don't rebuild. They just they restock. That's kind of what they do at CSI. Coach, how much can you take from last year's conference loss into this conference game, the conference tournament loss last year? Can you take anything away from that? I mean, do you look at that at all going into Saturday's game?
I think maybe a little bit, but I think you try to focus on what we have right now and who they are right now. I mean, every team is different. Their dynamic this year is different than it was last year. Not to say, like you said, they don't recruit, they reload. You know, they have firepower regardless. So we try to focus on who they have now and how we can slow them down. They're still athletic. They still compete. I mean, their tradition stays the same, but we have a whole bunch of different guys to match up with. So I think that's where our focus is right now.
Let's jump to Coach Curtis Condi. Coach, last week preparing for Colorado Northwestern, this week preparing for CSI. Schedule's a little bit different, just one game each week, not multiple games, not a Thursday and Saturday. It's the second consecutive week that we get the benefit of that. Is the vibe a little bit different in practice when you're preparing for CSI compared to Colorado?
I don't know about that. You know, the thing with this team is we've got 12 freshmen, and each week it's about getting better. And so, you know, I think it's just about getting better, and we've got better each day. You know, Monday, Tuesday, we got better Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, and then hopefully we'll get better today and be ready to go tomorrow because we're facing a team that really wants to push it, and they're ranked 13th in the country for a reason.
When you only have one game in one week, it's completely different than anything that we had during the non-conference season outside of, you know, a little bit of a Christmas break. How much easier is it from a coach's perspective to only focus on one team, not have to worry about multiple teams? It's not the only time, not the only two times we're going to get this season. We're going to get it again a little bit down the road, not playing two games in one week. Do you prefer that as a coach?
Oh, of course. Of course, because you can just lock in on that team. But I think the biggest thing is just having, is, you know, the young men coming ready to go tomorrow and ready to play.
Last night, CSI Snow College, Coach, what did you learn from that game, if anything at all?
That you can keep them off the boards if you're willing to put your body on them.
And with that being said, if you take a look at some of the bigs on this year's team, we've talked about Augie. Augie continues to play lights out. I know against Colorado, he had 15 points, 8 boards. He's prone to a double-double guy. So based off what you just told me, I have to believe that Augie is going to play a major role in this game on Saturday.
Well, not just Augie. It's going to be everybody because they send all 5 guys to the basket. They just throw it up and go get it. So everybody's got to block out. And then the other thing is what we worked on this week is to make sure that everybody's there to keep them out of the paint in transition. So, you know, that's one thing that we've got to do is just completely keep them out of the paint.
We'll jump back to Coach Vando. Coach Condi's talking about keeping them out of the paint. For the spectators, it's always an entertaining game when USU Eastern and CSI go toe-to-toe. A lot of action, a lot of offensive action. People seem to love that today. You get up and down the court a lot. We know what you want to do offensively. Coach Condi talks a little bit about what CSI wants to do offensively. We may have a track meet on Saturday.
We'll try to do our best that we can. We know, you know, they're like, you know, Coach, you know, Jones said that they're reloaded. They're supposed to have the MVP of, you know, the preseason MVP. But like I said, you know, I think we have guys who can, are very, you know, able to score for us. We just, you know, stressing, you know, them, you know, defensively, you know, like I said, you know, they're very good on offensive rebound. But, man, if we can control, you know, and limit them to just one chance, Jordan, I think, you know, like we can push the ball as hard. And, you know, that's our game. I think we can score in transition. And then we have a great chance to beat these guys, I think.
I agree, Coach. It's always a pleasure to talk to all three of you. Thank you so much for the time. Coach, before I let you go on the injury front, everything good going into CSI? No nagging injuries or anything we need to worry about?
No, everything is good. Everything is good so far. You know, we have everybody, you know, healthy, everybody ready to go, everybody really excited. Like I said, it's opportunity to play against a really good team in front of our home crowd. And, you know, as a coaching staff, we really excited too. So it matters that we go over there and perform.
Coach, thank you again for the time. Coach Jones, Coach Condi, always a pleasure to talk with you guys. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks, well, George.
Thank you so much.
Again, that's Coach Vando, Coach Jones, and Coach Condi of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. Tomorrow, they will take on the College of Southern Idaho. Live coverage, again, will begin with the women's game at 2:30 p.m., and then it's back-to-back action. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to talk to Coach Jeff Centenaris of the Carbon Dino baseball team. We'll get an update on the Carbon High School baseball project construction. Two new fields coming here to the Castle Country. We'll get an update on that. We'll also talk about open gyms and more. It's all coming up on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up? This is Nick Young. So I can see you listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
We have more local sports talk here on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Forum studios, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. A little bit about the Auto Forum and a little bit about high school baseball. Joining us right now in the studio, we have manager Jeff Centenaris of the Carbon Dino baseball team. Coach, it's been far too long, but it's great to get you back in.
Thank you, Jordan. It's been a while since we've got together, and I'm excited to talk about a few things today.
Yeah, it has been way too long, and we'll start by talking about the baseball program at Carbon High School. I know it's still early January, but that doesn't mean that baseball is not in the very near future. As soon as basketball is over, which is, second, third week of February, you guys jump right into baseball. And so open gyms are going on right now for your baseball program.
Yeah, we've been doing open gyms. We did some in the fall. We basically took the month of December off, came back, started up in January. We'll do open gyms in January, February, and I think tryouts are the 25th and 26th of February. So kind of early this year, maybe a week earlier than in the past. And I know weather's going to be an issue, obviously. We're getting this late snowstorms that we've been getting. It's going to be an issue for us. But, you know, baseball's around the corner. It seems like we just got through talking about it. We just got through wrapping up our season from last year, which was a successful one. And here we are talking about a new season upon us.
Yeah, went to the state championship game, came up short, but still a very successful season. Coach, I know you do have a lot of kids coming back from last year. Lost a lot, but there's still a lot of kids that have been in the program that you're going to have to rely on going into this year.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to replace what we lost. 10 seniors last year that all played a big part in accomplishing the goals that we had set last year, a region championship, and then you know, obviously a state championship that we fell just short of. But, you know, we had a lot of help from some underclassmen last year in key areas that we're really going to rely heavy on this year. We've got a great freshman class coming in that could very easily see a lot of varsity time this year if they work hard enough. Some sophomores that are going to have to contribute, and juniors. And then our senior class is small. Right now, I can look at about four or five, and that will probably be the amount of seniors we'll have on our team this year. And so we're going to rely heavy on those four or five guys to have some senior leadership for us and keep us on track. And then we're going to have to fill in with a lot of underclassmen this year, which, you know, is exciting for the program and moving forward that you have some great younger players. I never like to use the word we're rebuilding because, you know, I don't think good programs rebuild. They just replace every year, and we need to replace players. It's not a rebuilding season for us. And so, you know, my goal again as a head coach of this program will be a region championship and a trip back to the state tournament and hopefully compete for a state title. That's why we're here. So anything short of that, again, will, you know, not be, I don't like to use the word disappointment, but it's something that, you know, it's a goal of mine and it should be a goal of our players every year.
Now, what are some of the things that you try to implement at Open Gym?
Open gyms are tough. You know, we had 40 guys out the other night. You're in such a small space. I mean, the best thing that we can get out of open gyms is strengthening some arms, having guys throw some bullpens for us, and really try and get, you know, our pitching confidence down and get our arms strengthened up. You know, I've always used that philosophy still early in the season before we even hit region games. We're on a pitch count a lot less than what the state pitch count is because I'm trying to build our arms up to have, you know, our arms later in the year. So, you know, open gyms for me, you know, we do get some cuts, a lot of tee work upstairs in the batting cage. you can take ground balls off the gym floor, but I mean, honestly, we're never going to play on a field that you're going to get ground balls like you do, you know, on a gym floor. But you can work your technique, and really, my main focus this year is building our core strength of our guys. The guys we do have coming back, we need to build our core strength. We need some guys to get stronger. We need our pitchers to be in better shape. I think that could be said every year, but I really want to focus this year on building a lot of core strength. So in our open gyms, we're going to start doing a lot of drills that hopefully will build that core strength, build some confidence on the pitching mound, and, you know, do what we can getting some cuts upstairs in the batting cage. But open gyms are tough, especially when you have a large amount of kids and a small amount of time. And, you know, before we know it, you know, the season will be here.
And, of course, anyone who drives by the backside of the high school, you are seeing the construction on the new baseball fields. That's not going to do anything this season. You guys will be playing in Helper once again.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see those two new baseball fields ready to play on until at least summertime. We will not get on them at all during the high school season. I know they're working on them every day, and that's awesome for our program and for our community to have two new baseball fields. But once again, you know, we'll rely on Helper's American Legion Field for our varsity and JV games, and then the Babe Ruth Field, and hopefully get with Coach Madsen and play a game or two with our young guys on the college field like we have in the past. You know, construction is slow in the wintertime, especially now we got snow on the ground, and it's a big project. But, yeah, hopefully those fields will be done, you know, early summer. Definitely hope they're ready to play on by next spring for the Carbon High baseball team. But, you know, we'll just keep moving forward with what we have right now.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dental baseball team. Coach, let's step away from baseball. Of course, we're live from the Auto Forum studios right now, so let's talk a little bit about what is happening at the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram Auto Forum.
Exciting stuff going on down here at the Auto Farm dealership right now. I mean, both of our stores are doing great. Our Ford store across town had a great year last year in their first full year of operation. Parts and sales department at both places are doing really well. We're really trying to focus right now on helping people that are struggling a little bit with credit and maybe some lower income, and trying to bring in vehicles that will really help those people. If you look at our street, that's our lot that's across the street from Sutherland's right now, that used to be our overflow lot. Right now we're going to turn that lot into mainly some lower priced vehicles that we can maybe help some people get into that are really struggling right now. So we're going to keep adding vehicles across the street there. By any means, you know, anyone's welcome to look at those vehicles, but we're really trying to focus on trying to find some vehicles that the year and the mileage on them are where they need to be to help some of these lower income and people that are trying to rebuild their credit. So that's kind of the big news for us right now. But we have a great selection of new and, you know, pre-owned vehicles still on our lot that I'm excited about. Jeep is coming out with a lot of new things. The new body style Ram 1500s, we got a handful of those in this past year, and I'm really excited about those. We should see the new body style and the heavy duty Ram sometime early summertime this year. So that's going to be an exciting thing to see what they do with the new body style there. The big news, you know, is Jeep is coming out with the Gladiator truck. I'm not sure when we'll see one of those, but, you know, first look at those, they're a pretty awesome vehicle. But, you know, it's exciting right now. We have some great salespeople. We have some great people in service and parts. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we're just treating everybody right and doing everything we can to help everyone out in the area. And I'm excited to be there, and it's an exciting time for our dealership.
Obviously, when the weather changes and we hit the winter months, you always want to think about something that's four-wheel drive. It seems like every month now is truck month. Every month is Jeep month for the area that we live in. I mean, you need one of those almost year-round.
Yeah, the car market, you know, and I hate to say it, but the car market's really down right now in just a car. And if you look at Ford and you look at Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, you know, they're not producing a lot of cars anymore. Everything's gone to the SUV market and the truck market, and rightfully so. I mean, they're making, you know, the new trucks and the new SUVs as comfortable or more comfortable than a car ever was, and you can use them for, you know, a lot more of our activities around this area. So SUVs and trucks are really popular. I think they're going to stay really popular, especially in our area. You're seeing a decline in new car producing and sales. I mean, right now on our Dodge, Jeep, and Ram lot, you know, we have a Chrysler 300 and, you know, a Dodge Charger and a Dodge Challenger, and those are the only three, you know, cars that we really have that are new. But we do have a good selection of used ones. You know, we're trying to keep in the front-wheel drives and the all-wheel drives for our area down here. And, you know, it's still an exciting time with truck. Like you said, it's truck month every month, and that's never going to go away in our area. I mean, the rebates, they change month to month, but trucks are always going to be popular, and so are the SUVs. And I'm excited about the trucks and SUVs that we do have on the lot.
Before I let you go, again, you also have a website, phone number, all the important information that people need in order to get a hold of you or maybe find that perfect car they're looking for, right?
Yeah, you can always go to our autofarmgroup.com. That takes all of our Auto Farm dealerships. You need to watch when you're on that website, because it will bring the vehicles in that are on our lot in Wyoming and our lots back east. And if you want to get more specific with what we have here in Price, you can go to Price CDJR or just Price Ford, and you know that'll give you a great opportunity to look at what we have on our lots here. And you know, and feel free, I mean, stop in, talk to us at either dealership. You know, we're still one Auto Farm family. We still work with just each other. We can sell vehicles off of either lot and get you exactly what you need, or if we don't have it on either one of our lots, we can certainly find it for you. You know, we want to make sure we're getting you a very good pre-owned vehicle. You know, we'll pull the Carfax for you. We'll show it to you, make sure it doesn't have any accidents, give you a kind of a history on where the vehicle's been. And again, we can search out and find something for you if we don't have it on our lot. But we've got a big selection right now. You're going to keep seeing that selection grow. It's a little bit low on both lots right now, but we got new vehicles showing up every day. So keep an eye out for it. Give us a call and let us help you out. It's like I said, it's exciting for me. This will be my third year now working at the dealership, and it gets more exciting every day, and I enjoy working with people and helping them out. So stop by anytime and let us see what we can do for you.
Coach, it's a pleasure to get you back in and talk with you. I know we'll be talking a lot more as baseball gets a little bit closer. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you.
We've got a break for just another moment. When we return, we're going to talk NFL football. Four games this weekend to decide the final four in the NFL. Can the divisional round live up to the excitement of the wild card round? We'll talk about that when we return. It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back for this final segment of the week here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We got to talk NFL playoff football. The divisional round has a lot to live up to based on what we saw in the wild card round. Wild card round last week was fantastic. And to me, there's a real level of unknown going into this weekend, because the Indianapolis Colts, I think they're the hottest team in the game right now. I don't think you want to play them. And on Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports, Vinny Rondinelli, who joins us each week, he went with Indianapolis. I don't fault that pick. I don't fault that pick at all. I think the Colts have a legitimate chance to knock off Kansas City. And a lot of it, you know, I don't even care about the fact that Andy Reid has struggled in the first round of the playoffs. I don't care that the Chiefs have struggled in the playoffs for a very long time. I don't care anything about that. I don't care about the 28-point collapse against the Colts in 2013. It doesn't matter to me. It's a completely different team. I'm not buying into the belief that Patrick Mahomes is a transcendent quarterback, someone that's going to completely change the game. I think he's good. I think he's had a great season. I think he's going to be very good for a very long time. I don't think he's going to change the game. On the flip side, there's Andrew Luck, and to me, he's a top four quarterback in the game right now. When Andrew Luck is healthy, to me, he's top four. He does things so well. He's a true team leader. I was ripping on Ben Roethlisberger yesterday for not being a leader. Everything that I said about Ben Roethlisberger on this show is opposite with Andrew Luck. But for as great as Andrew Luck is, here's the key to this game. If the Indianapolis running game can have 75% of the success that they had against Houston, against Kansas City, which is not far-fetched, the Colts may win this game. I think we could see the one seed in a battle for their lives. Now, at the beginning of the playoffs, we each filled out a bracket, and I have Kansas City playing New England in the AFC Championship, and I'm going to stick with New England, and we'll get to that in a moment. But if I could change that bracket, I can't. But if I could, I would put Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game. I thought they'd get past Houston. I think they get past Kansas City. I really do. I'm that high on this team. Frank Reich has them playing at such a high level And I love what Andrew Luck brings to the quarterback spot. I love the way the defense is playing. They got the defensive rookie of the year in Darius Leonard on this squad. You know what? Give me Indianapolis. I think the Colts could knock off the Chiefs in the opening round, which is a shame because we won a rematch of Kansas City-LA in the Super Bowl. That brings us to tomorrow night's game, Rams-Cowboys. And if I'm a Rams fan, I'm a little worried about this game. I think it's the worst possible matchup. I didn't fear Chicago in the postseason, and the reason I didn't fear the Bears is because I thought they were a year, maybe 2 years away. I thought they made big strides. I thought Mitch Trubisky made big strides. He's still very, very green, did not play a lot of college football, finally getting his footing. I like Jordan Howard. I like what they have on the offensive line, love what they have defensively. But Matt Nagy's an offensive-minded coach, and the playoffs are a completely different beast, and typically that catches up with offensive-minded coaches in their first year, just like it did with Sean McVay last season. I didn't fear the Bears in the postseason. Seattle got where they were at because of their quarterback, Russell Wilson, and their outstanding coaching staff. Eventually, talent wins out. The Dallas Cowboys are built old-school style. They have a dominating offensive line. They have a terrific running back. I believe Zeke is the second best running back in the league. And they have a very good defense that shut down Seattle's rushing attack. Don't forget, they shut down the New Orleans Saints a few weeks ago. And when you talk about momentum, Dallas has it. Now, the problem with the Cowboys, they're not good away from home. They're 3-5 away from home. The Rams have been great at the Coliseum. They're 7-1. The one loss came to Philadelphia in a game in which they shot themselves in the foot many times. I think it's a bad matchup for the Rams. I think it's key for the Rams to jump out early. Dallas isn't built to play from behind. You know, you can overcome a 10-point game. Defense can make a stop. You fall down two touchdowns, as Dallas team's done. The Cowboys haven't won a true road playoff game in nearly 26 years, and again, I just don't care about that. Because the previous 26 years has nothing to do with this year's team. It's an interesting statistic. Analytically, it means nothing for this year's squad. 3-5 outside of Arlington this year, that matters. But I will tell you that the Coliseum tomorrow will be mostly Cowboy fans. There may be more Cowboy fans in LA tomorrow than Ram fans. The Rams have to outscore the Cowboys by 14 points in the first half and this game's over. If it's a shootout, the Rams win. If it's a low-scoring game and the Cowboys can institute the run and keep the Rams' offense off of the field, which they may very easily be able to do, the Cowboys can win this football game. I'm going to take the Rams, but I think it's a close game. And the Rams right now are favored by 7.5. Yeah, I'm not taking the Rams. I wouldn't take the spread on this. I think it's a close game. I think it's a bad matchup for the Rams. And much like Kansas City, I think one of the best teams in the league in Los Angeles is going to be on the ropes tomorrow. Tomorrow's such an interesting day. And it gets even better on Sunday. We have the Chargers and the Patriots. And I just got through saying that I don't care that Andy Reid has not been able to win a home playoff game in however long, and the Cowboys haven't won a true road playoff game in like 25 years. I don't care anything about that. Here's some numbers I do care about in this game. Chargers are 9-0 in games played outside of Los Angeles, but the Patriots are the only team in the NFL with a perfect home record. And Tom Brady is 7-0 in his career against Philip Rivers. There's something to that. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are so great after bye weeks. There's something like 11-1 in the postseason after bye weeks or something like that. It's only the second time in the last 14 years the Patriots have been favored by four or fewer points in a home playoff game. And the other one turned out to be a loss to Baltimore. They lost handedly, 33-14. I believe the Chargers are the better team. I believe the Chargers are better defensively. I was not impressed with what I saw from the Chargers last week offensively. They have to do a better job in Foxborough. To me, I'm going to go with the Patriots, and the reason I'm going with the Patriots is because of that bye week. This game is in Foxborough, and Bill Belichick is the greatest football coach on the planet. That's why I give New England the edge. Wouldn't shock me if the Chargers win it all, but those are just some... There's something to the Patriots at home off that bye week. Chargers actually had to fight for this game last week against Baltimore. Should have been a snooze fest. They should have been able to put the second string into the fourth quarter because Lamar Jackson was terrible. What can the Chargers do defensively to make Tom Brady, I guess, try to make him mobile? He's not mobile, but you got to try to get him outside the pocket. If they can do what they did to Lamar Jackson, it's a far cry. It's a completely different quarterback. That's the only way the Chargers win this game. And then we get the Eagles and the Saints, and again, it's a spectacular contest. the element of the unknown in the NFL playoffs is so great. Nick Foles is the highest-rated playoff passer in NFL history. Can you believe that? And it seems like everything that this guy has touched over the last 2 years has turned to gold. I think it ends here, though. New Orleans is going to beat Philly. I think they beat Philly somewhat handedly. We get a rematch, Rams-Saints NFC Championship. And if it is the Patriots and the Colts, the Patriots, who sleptwalked through the regular season, would host the AFC Championship game. Go figure, right? Things happen like that for New England all the time. Out of time with this edition of the show. Coming up tonight, Emory High School basketball, 6:30 p.m., live pregame coverage, and then 7 o'clock tip-off as they take on North St. Pete. Have a terrific weekend. Be safe. I am out.